This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. The November election results did not surprise people in the vast middle of the nation that went red. For many people, the election was about the culture wars and the helplessness that they felt in watching traditional values be, in their view, lost in the courts. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty traveled to Nebraska and filed this report.
On a clear, brittle Saturday morning, 32 people gather in front of the State House in Lincoln, ready for spiritual work. They meet each month for this prayer walk, today praying for the governor and the new members of the legislature.
We're also going to be praying today for the senators, for the Nebraska Supreme Court.
The group walks into the warm building where about a dozen people form a haphazard circle in front of the offices of the Nebraska Supreme Court, and they appeal to their God.
My prayer today is that these same men and women who are Supreme Court justices would ask not for worldly wisdom, but for your wisdom.
Father, some of our judges don't respect you, but we pray that you would work in their hearts and minds to make decisions that restore the values and the morality to our country.
That's Deborah Badir. Prayer is part of her effort to raise the barricades against today's culture, a culture, she says, that's coarse and degrading and antithetical to her Christian worldview.
In Nebraska, we have the Defense of Marriage Amendment being challenged. We've had the partial birth abortion ban challenged. We've had the Ten Commandments challenged. It's getting more and more critical that we pray, and that we pray for God to intervene in the affairs of men.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Noel.
There are a lot of birthday parties at the Badir's place, a large house at the end of a gravel road, miles from Lincoln. On this day, Noel is 18, the third of eight children. Deb and Dan Badir decided to homeschool their kids after the eldest attended the first grade, because even back then, Deb says, public school seemed a hostile place to her son.
Even if he took a Bible for show and tell because it was his prized possession, he couldn't show it. If he wanted to sing Jesus Loves Me during song time, they couldn't sing that simple song.
The final straw was the day before the last day of school. The teacher, she said, kids, now next year, you're probably going to get approached by drug people. And here's how you need to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you know, we don't feel that our six-year-old should have to deal with that.
Now, 20 years later, Dan Badir says the country is hitting a new low. The Ten Commandments are being removed from public places. Television is X-rated, and so is the Internet. And the most traditional of institutions is being redefined.
If the Founding Fathers knew that we'd have to come up with a marriage definition, an amendment, they have to be shocked.
It's not just about politics. It is about the culture war, if you will, or the sense that we have that the culture is being hijacked out from under us.
Deb says many of her friends and much of Red State America fought back in the November elections to save those values that they had assumed would never disappear.
When we see marriage amendments on 11 ballots in 1 year, this is not just about defining marriage, although that's very important. It's about all of the other issues that go along with that, that get back to traditional family values and being honest and moral and truthful and having integrity.
4 years ago, Nebraska amended its state constitution to define marriage as a union between a man and a woman. But now that amendment, which was approved by 73% of Nebraskans, is in jeopardy. In the next few weeks, a federal judge in Lincoln will decide whether the amendment is constitutional, and his preliminary rulings strongly suggest he will strike it down. Dan Badir wonders how an unelected judge can undo the work of the majority of the people.
You know, because we've been taught all through in the American system there's a check and balance for everything. So we've just kind of wondered, what is the check and balance to kind of a runaway judge?
Federal Judge Richard Kopf in Lincoln is not the judge deciding the marriage case. He is the judge who struck down the federal late-term abortion law and ruled that the Ten Commandments could not remain in a public park. He says federal judges must not care whether their decisions are liked or disliked.
Now, that doesn't mean that you go out of your way to stick your thumb in people's eyes, but it does mean that if you have to stick your thumb in their eyes, that's what you got to do.
He says that's why federal judges have lifetime appointments, to free them from pressures to submit to majority will.
And they're given the rare privilege every day of doing what they honestly believe the law requires of them and seeking nothing else.
While there are many Deb and Dan Badirs who see judges as infuriating activists, there are also plenty of people like Nancy Brink and Maria Perez who see judges as their protectors. Perez and Brink sit at the dining room table in their Omaha house. They're both wearing bright red shirts. They both have short brown hair. They've been together, Perez says, since the day they met 3 years ago at a conference for the Disciples of Christ Church.
We happened to be participating in an event together, and it was just love at first sight. I thought that was kind of corny until it happened to me.
Nancy Brink's laugh is her signature to her friends, to her daughter, to her congregants at the Northside Christian Church, where she is the pastor. Many people at the 150-member church are gay, and for them, Brink's sexuality and her prayers resonate.
You call us to friendship. You call us to be people of compassionate care, even among those who might hate us.
Brink and Perez are one of five couples challenging the Nebraska Marriage Amendment, in part because the law strips gays of some basic rights, such as the right to lobby their legislature. Perez says it doesn't matter that 73% of the state voted for the amendment. Eventually, she says, people will see the injustice.
I think if you took a vote or a poll when the issue of slavery was going on, what percentage do you think it was going to be? 80? 75? So great decisions and great causes go against sometimes what the majority thinks.
If the judge strikes down the amendment, as expected, Brink says some will say he's being an overreaching activist, but not Brink.
I think he's being a judge who listens to the U.S. Constitution and says this is a nation for all people, and all people are to be protected here. If that's activism, then let's have a lot more of it.
And Deb Badir is bracing for more, so the mom-turned-homeschooler is looking ahead.
And one of the things we're doing is to try to train the next generation that we have access to hold the judges and the political officials and the whole country accountable.
Is the judge ready?
Ready.
Is the timer ready?
Yeah.
Then I will begin. Lord, thou hast searched me.
The 30 or so kids in the homeschool debate class spend a few minutes sharpening their skills. Then they turn to making a case for their particular religious values.
I'm Elizabeth Wismer. I'm 12 years old, and I'm in 7th grade. And what I think a lot of people don't know is that church and state were separated so that the state wouldn't be imposing on the church, not so the church wouldn't be imposing on the state.
My name is Taylor Gage, and I'm in 11th grade. And I think that all this judicial activism has been a huge abuse of the Marbury versus Madison decision.
After the debate, Ian Badir, who's a junior, says he understands his values might not be cool.
Sure, I face rejection for my worldview, but me, that just encourages me to press on. If there's a lot of fight against what you're doing, you know that what you're doing must be right.
And so Ian Badir, his family and friends, and countless others in Red State America are gearing up for the battle over American culture. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.